This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Wow, we are back. What's yes, good, man?
Everything's good.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
What's the latest?
The latest, I mean. Like I said, man, I'm just trying to change myself.
All right. Well, I hear that. All right. So go ahead. How's the change going? Like I said.
Change is going good, man. You know how you start changing shit, you focus on, you know, what you got to go get.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But, so like the tools for the change?
The tools for the change.
All right. So I hear you. I'm with
trying
this.
To, you know what I'm saying? Figure out which tools I'm going to get.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Figuring out what's the latest and the greatest where I need to fit in, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then somebody sent me some shit on the gram, and they was talking about, you know what I'm saying, the 7 best doctors and shit.
Okay.
And it was like sunshine, air, you know what I'm saying?
One of those.
Exercise.
Did it hit you? You felt
it? You know what I'm saying? Exercise.
Diet.
It's 7 of them shits.
Right.
And rest.
Right.
And water.
Okay.
And then I looked at that shit like, I don't do none of this shit.
You don't do none of that?
Nah, not really. I don't be just going out to get sunshine and shit.
Yeah.
Fresh air when I'm just outside going to the train or some shit. Or shoot.
In transit.
In transit. You know what I'm saying? Rest when I'm dead.
Okay.
Know what I'm saying? My diet is crazy because I eat whenever. I don't really.
But you eat good though, right?
I mean, it's not good if you don't eat much. If you you know what I'm saying? You don't start eating until 3 p.m. when you're already starving.
Oh, okay. You're doing emergency eating.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're already on E.
I know how that is.
Stay dehydrated.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, I don't got none of the 7 good doctors.
They gave you all the information.
I'm like, shit, I need to start this change from within.
Yeah. I hear you. So what you going to start with first?
Right now I'm working on my laughter.
Okay, there you go. There you know what
I'm saying? I figured that'd be the lowest hanging fruit.
Let's get some laughter going.
You know what I mean? Shit, I just have to do that more often.
Yeah.
Not just on Tuesdays.
I wanna get out more, like in the way of, you know, take the walk. You know what I mean? I take a walk every once in a while, but like really do that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like take the walk. I've been drinking more water. I drink a lot of water, but you know, I don't want to say I'm killing myself, but the BPAs, you know, I go to Target.
What's
I'll go
BPA?
Get, I don't, somebody, Matt, tell me what the BPAs are exactly, what they stand for.
Bisphenol A.
Ooh, Matt was ready with that one. Well, explain a little bit more beyond just what it means.
So,
I mean, what it
BPA tends to mimic estrogen in the body. So it screws with your hormonal balance is the problem with it.
Oh, shit.
So you're about to turn into a woman.
No, I hope not.
Well, it can also be a carcinogen.
It could be a carcinogen.
And what's the BPA's got to do with water?
Basically, plastic bottles, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'll go to Target and buy like a 24-pack for $5 or whatever, you know, because a win is a win. You know what I mean? And I throw them shits in the trunk. So I got them. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm thirsty for something, I just pop the trunk, boop, throw some shit. But I don't think your water's supposed to sit in plastic for so long.
Right.
So you might, you know. But that's as close.
So
that
how you
and
measure,
Brita.
How you measure your BPAs?
I don't even know. I just know I'm concerned with it. Oh. I haven't done the measurements. I'm just concerned. You know, I'm one of them motherfuckers. I'll be concerned about some shit, but it's probably going to have to kill me for me to really do more. They'd be like, damn, you know what? He should have followed up.
No, he followed up. He was on it.
Yeah, he knew about it.
He talked about it on the podcast.
He was aware. He made me look into it.
You know what I'm saying? I changed my life.
Right.
I stopped using plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And look at me.
Look at that. I was drinking out of mason jar.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what they say you should do, pour shit in mason jars and just drive around with a bunch of mason jars like a fucking bootlegger. That shit is
I used them bottles from IKEA. You know, the ones that with the metal flip over.
Yeah.
Closed tops.
But they got some shit going on in there too, right?
Who?
The little...
It's a glass bottle.
Oh, you talk about the little journeyman joints that you put like a...
glass bottle. You just seal with the old school, you know what I'm saying, top.
With a little, like a little cork top?
Not a cork. It's a piece of plastic, but it's with some metal hinges and it... locked down.
Well, okay. Yeah, I think something going on with that too.
No.
I think so. You might want to look into that.
Going on with what?
Something with the BPAs in that as well. That shit got some BPAs.
You don't even know what the BPAs is.
I'm just saying, man. We should all be concerned. This is a PSA for BPAs.
You just said put it in a glass bottle.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I feel you on, you know, getting out in the world, walking around a little bit.
Yeah, just doing, you know, purposely. You know what I'm saying? Doing some of that shit. All this shit just be, like you say, in transit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As a byproduct of your work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Or you never getting away from the work. You just doing more of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of the shit that I'm going to change, though, is in the nature of the business I'm in, you know, you get... Each project, you get a whole another, you had to get into a whole another mindset for mm-hmm. whoever your client is or uh-huh. whatever work you're doing. So you might be working on five different projects with five different mindsets, you know what
okay.
I mean? And you, from here, you got to be over here for that. You got to be thinking in this direction. Mm-hmm. And then you're thinking in this direction for these people over here. And what it does is it don't make the work harder. It just makes, it stretches your mind out. And the more projects you have at one time, the more all over the place your mind get. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So you never really get an opportunity to be in one zone and maximize that zone.
Mm.
So what I'm going to try to do is scale down the types of things that I'm doing
right.
and start moving in one, you know what I'm saying, uniform direction as far as the types of projects we're taking on mm-hmm. and creating at the same time.
Right.
So that's where I'm starting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's like... If I could bring my mind in a controlled place and then, you know, do some of the other things that can help, I think I'd be in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Do you you find it easy or is it hard for you to say no to somebody when they
pitch
you for work?
To yeah. money?
To turn, yeah, well, you know if you mean? Want to look at the money opportunity, like you said, you might have to scale back, but there might be people that say, yo, I need you for this. So you gotta shut something down.
Yeah, yeah. You shutting down the things that's taking you off course. And once I decided it's not hard, it's like it's just when you haven't decided. Like when you just going, mm-hmm. it's just all right. What's that? All right, that's on the schedule. We got time on the schedule. Yeah, okay, bet that's in.
Right.
There. You know what I'm saying? You just be loading it up until you got you stacked up and you got 10, 12 of them stacked in there together. And it's like this shit crazy.
Yeah.
It don't, you know what I'm saying? It's not hard work. It's just like, it just feel crazy because you all over the place.
Right.
But once you make the decision, like when I made the decision to say, I'm not going to do a whole bunch of other shit. I was going to focus on video.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't hard.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You just shut the shit down. And then, you know, after a while, your phone stopped ringing in that direction. Like,
oh, okay.
That's the goal. Like, you know what I'm saying? The way your phone ring is usually where you be going.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going in one way, your phone start ringing in one way.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I'm saying? If you play it out, your phone stop ringing altogether.
Mm.
So you got to do something else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, once I decided, it was like, I was just doing a bunch of different shit because I came from sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I knew how to do the sponsor thing. So it was like, somebody be like, you know, can you give me a sponsor on this? Can you do this? Can you book this? Can, you know, and then I'm trying to throw these concerts and shit. So I was just doing a bunch of different shit for a bunch of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, that shit stopped working the way I liked it to work. And I was just all over the place trying to get it to work.
Right.
And I decided, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to do none of that shit. I'm just going to do the shit that I'm focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, that was it.
Yeah,
there wasn't no looking back.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good. Man, listen to you. That's what's up. I hear you on this chain shit. like I told you, I ramped up just the stand-up shit. I've been out there. Just out and about more, just
mm-hmm.
in the community more, you know, and it's been good. It's been fun. You know what I mean? It's just, it's Yeah, it's different. You know what I mean? It's different.
The clubs are different? Or just it's different, your outlook on the club?
My outlook is just a little bit different. It's the clubs ain't different. It's just the frequency. You know what I mean? You throw the frequency up. You turn your frequency up, you interact with way more comics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just doing one or two spots here and you just go on the way you're doing your spot and then you out of there, you only see who's on the line up there. You right. know what I mean? So then, like, I'm on some line. I'm going to do a spot here. Then, oh, there's something going on over there. We're going to go over to this club. We're going to do this. I was just about to leave. And then I'm like, well, let me go over here. Like, last night I was at I went to the Fat Black Pussycat for, it was new material Monday. So we went out there, new jokes, went, chilled at that. And then I was like, you know, cause that was my whole thing. Let me go out there. Let me do the new joke situation. Mm-hmm. And typically I'd be like, all right, well, let me get back to the crib. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, fuck it. Let me go over here to the cellar, see what's cracking over at the cellar. Mm-hmm. And that turned into a whole nother thing. Then wound up going to the Stand, which was for a more unfortunate note. You know, rest in peace is a guy named David Kimowitz, who was a co-founder of Cringe Humor, which is like a management company, management comedy development company. And he was one of the owners of the Stand, you know, mm-hmm. and he was killed recently. So that was fucked up. So they had like a whole vigil type thing, which was interesting as well too. Not interesting, but it's you know, for comedians to be as competitive as they could be, you know what I mean? When it's some shit that happens in the community, there's definitely a lot of support. You know what I mean? Like I always appreciate that when you see that amongst it, like something will really bring people together. So that was kind of cool just to see people out, you know what I mean, supporting each other.
Like telling jokes or just
they chilling? Were, you know, a little bit of everything, you know, kind of, you know, niggas gonna make everything funny or at least try, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how you deal with a lot of it. So it was basically stage was open, and it's super unfortunate because this is the brand new Stand. They just worked on this brand new Stand. This I think we talked about last week.
Right.
So, you know.
They remodeled it.
Yeah, it's a whole new location. Whole different. It's like to the next level. It's crazy. Mm. But anyway, yeah, so everybody, you know, people got up on stage and, you know, said some words, you know, told stories, that type of thing. So that was cool. But, just playing it by ear more. You know what I mean? Like, just being in the mix and also just programming the day. You know, like, I got a whiteboard. You know what I'm saying? I would have gotten a whiteboard. Whiteboard gives you so much potential. I would have copped a whiteboard. And,
I thought you said I got a whiteboard.
my little whiteboard assistant.
Like, what the fuck?
Nah. I got a whiteboard. And it's fucked up because the shit, niggas, it was like a crease in my shit. Somehow the shit got bent in the shipping. So I hit Amazon, like, yo, y'all, you know, they don't even return it, but they gave me my money back, so now I got a little bent whiteboard. I might cop another one, because I want my whiteboard to be pristine, right, you know what I mean?
You
I don't
want your potential to lay out real smooth.
I don't want my vision to be distorted, but right. Shit, I might take this free bent whiteboard for right now. We're going to see how these plans
So what
work.
What you putting on there? You putting new projects? You putting ideas? You putting dates?
I'm doing all of that. I don't even know how to format that shit. Right now,
I'm trying to get an idea how you format your whiteboard.
I'm doing it by feel, right? So I got, you know, company name, just mm-hmm. to, you know, set it off. I got a maxim. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I'm feeling at the most. Very whiteboard set, you know, specific. I don't know. I want to put my maxim out there. Put your little maxim out there. Then you got a couple items, some to-do items at this point. You know what I mean? Okay, like some goals
got some,
I got.
Some goals.
But I'm going to put some goals on there. I think what I'm also trying to do is you can measure shit, too. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's certain things you're doing, and you just track it a little bit. You know what I mean? And so we'll see. At this point, it's still sparse, but like, it's, you know, it just went up yesterday.
No doubt.
So
no
we
doubt.
Out here. We out here. Yeah. Incremental. That's how I was talking to my man Duke. Shout out to Duke. Because to your point of trying to change shit, you know, like, particularly I want to change the way I eat, right? I'm trying not to eat like a slave voluntarily. You know what I'm saying? Like, So I'm trying to eat better shit, a little more vegetables and shit like that. You can't just all the way go, you know, but incrementally try to, you know, just how you add more green to the plate or whatever, whatever. So, you know, just incremental shit. But as long as it's being done, it's being done. It's a little better than it was yesterday.
Right.
So that's all you could do. That's all you could do. You know, put one foot in front of the other, keep going. You know what I'm saying?
How is being out more affecting your craft right as of now?
I think probably the most immediate thing is, you know, it tones the overthinking down. You know, when the frequency is there, then it's just spots. You know what I mean? It's just shows to show. Like, if you're doing three shows in a night and one of them, the joke don't land how you want it to land, you got two other opportunities to get that out your head or to try it again. Mm-hmm. So you're not just sitting there like, damn, you know, I wish, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, so there's that. Like I said, there's more interaction. I was talking to my man Will Silvins. He's another comic. And one of the things that he likes to do, like I was at the cellar the other night and I'm getting off stage and he's hosting. Will's one of them cats when it's a very, like, Will's, like, that's one of his things, but it happens a lot at the cellar, you'll see it, but like, he'll talk to you when you off, you know what I mean? Like, you just got off stage and you and your, all right, back, good night, you know, I'm done, I'm off, you know what I'm saying? I'm walking to get the fuck out of there. We'll be like, yo, so D, what's the deal with the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like a little talk back.
Right.
And, you know, you gotta be open to it. Sometimes you just be so ready to get the fuck out.
You don't got no mic,
it ain't the biggest rule.
Just yell it back.
Just yell it back. But that creates its own little dynamic, right?
Right.
So I guess I was rushing a little bit. I wasn't even rushing. It was a comedian after me, Adrian Appalucci. She was going on. That's a good friend. So I was chopping it up with her real quick, and he was asking me questions. So I was in the midst of two things.
Right.
And then she was going on. So, but anyway, we're talking about it later. And just that, he was like, you know, he was like, the more you want to, you know, we were just talking about finding your voice and, you know, and he was like, you know, your voice is who you are on stage. I mean, who you are off stage with just more jokes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you don't have to turn everything off. Not that you got to be on, but when you get off stage and you're still having conversations with obviously a bunch of comics and other funny people, you still exercising, you know, thinking funny or taking a take or arguing a point or, you know what I mean? Just challenging conversation. You know what I'm saying? You just put yourself, you know, in the society of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So there that go. Yeah.
Word up. You ran into Eddie. Have you seen Eddie working his jokes yet?
I ain't seen Eddie yet. Nah. But I'm hearing from the streets. The streets is like, Eddie, he did just take that 100. Take the 100. Like, the people are like, I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? Nah, fuck that. Go for the full 100. That's 70. That's attractive. But this is Eddie. Give me that 100. Give me that 100.
I thought you said the streets were saying he was out there getting it in.
No, not yet. But I mean, I'm sure once it happened, you'll hear about it. It's going to be on the wire. People going to be talking about that shit. That's going to be a moment if it happens.
No doubt.
Oh, man.
What else good?
Yeah, man. You said what else is good?
Yeah.
I said what else is good, man?
You see they got that everybody posting their top 50 MCs.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I saw that the list. I saw the initial list.
Who made the first one?
I don't know, but, you know, some people saying Joe Budden made it. Because it puts him in the conversation, which is exactly what you want. He tweeted, he was like, look, I ain't make that list, but I'm not about to argue against it.
Right.
Which I'm not mad at that. And it's a, you know, it goes back to, we always talk about that, goes back to, you know, being in that conversation, right? Like, back the whole Jay-Z shit. Who's the best MCs, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas?
Right.
Jay-Z put himself in that shit, right? So now there's a lot of neat people try to dismiss Joe like he's not a dope rapper. I mean, top three, that's debatable, but that's what lists are for. Well, that's what the list is. That's what this
list had him in top three.
I think it had Jay-Z. Yeah, look at Matt. Even Matt over here, Matt on the beat. Matt was like, yeah, I think it said Jay, Nas, Joe Budden. And then whomever. And, you know, it's a lot of people like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
That's a good troll.
It's a good troll, but it's like one of them trolls that make you hopefully go back to the catalog. And, you know, any stream is a good stream, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, that's what that fucking list shit is about.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess.
Who you got? Who would you have?
I mean, I don't have Joe Budden in my top.
I mean, yeah, three. Top 10? You got him in your top 10?
Top 48.
Who you got in your top 3? I don't even. Yeah, that's
top 3.
That's a tough one.
See, this list shit is crazy because, like, people I have in my top 10, some of the kids who judging this shit haven't even heard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, you know, is in your top one change through every era, you know? Right. But of course, I got Jay in there. I got Big in there. Uh-huh. I got, you know what I mean? Who else I'm going to keep in there? Big Daddy Kane going to be in there somewhere, uh-huh. Top 10.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Rakim, you know what I mean? Going to be in the top 5 somewhere, you know what I mean?
Okay.
just because of the impact.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you first hear a rapper and when an artist come in the game and change it so hard,
mm-hmm.
that – you know, you don't have the insight of what the future is or how mm-hmm. many albums this artist is gonna have, or you know what I'm saying, he might break up with his producer and then don't have the best taste in musical beats. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But what they brought to the game at that time was next level and extraordinary. That's like Rakim. You know what I'm saying? Rakim came and changed everything and how people rap. And how people thought about rap and what you could do with rap. But then at a certain point, the beats didn't keep up with him. So he, you know, kind of lost interest.
That's what happened? Who was his? Who
I mean, he, I say I kind of lost interest.
Who was it, like, who were his producers up front that, and then like.
I think that first album Marley Marl did.
Oh, yeah.
The Paid in Full album.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
And then the next one, I'm not sure. They started getting other people. Mm-hmm. It became. What the beauty of Paid in Full was that it had a sound that stretched out everywhere.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It had a universal kind of sound that you could dig in Miami, you could dig wherever.
Right.
When the next albums came, you know what I'm saying, they started to become more New York centric type beats.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
More very, very hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the way to the point where it's like, yo, this is unlistenable.
Mm.
Not saying not because it was New York, but just because of the way you were initiated on Rakim was on a different kind of beat, a more like mainstream, palatable 808s in it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Type of beats. So when he moved off of that sound, it just didn't sound. It didn't sound futuristic. It didn't sound modern. You know what I'm saying? It started to go backwards. The more they wanted to stay in the lane of what New York sounded like, it started sounding like it went backwards.
Mm.
Because of his voice was so ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're putting it on regular.
The beats dated on
it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The beats drug him back. That's how I felt about it. But he would never fall out of a top MC's list for me because of what he brought to MCing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you come in and change it, then people after you have to fall in line with what you did. You know what I mean? Even if you only made one album, that's impact.
Right.
So Biggie only had 2 albums.
Mm-hmm.
But his impact was, you know what I'm saying, was legendary.
Mm, yeah.
He left a legacy of rapping, you know what I mean? So that's why he up there.
Right.
But, you know, list subjective. You know what I'm saying? I saw Ebro's list.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody interesting on the list? Because that's what I look for.
He had Remy Ma on there. On top of Wayne.
All right. I feel like I want to hear some new Remy. I ain't heard no new Remy since maybe Sheether. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I like Remy a lot. I watch her on, State of the Culture. I like how Remy always got, like, you know, she'll have a strong opinion on some shit or have an unlikely take and argue that shit down. But I wouldn't. It's been a minute I don't think she's retired. I know, you know, she's on there with Joe Budden. I know Joe's supposedly retired.
Didn't she just have a baby?
Yeah, but so did Cardi B.
No, you know what I mean? Cardi B ain't dropped no new music since she had a baby.
Shit. I don't know, man. Look, you could drop a baby at an album. Nah, I don't know. All I'm saying is I would like to hear some shit.
You know,
from
sometimes you dig into the work of you know, caring for your new life that you brought into the world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not saying that you can't go rap, but maybe sometimes you just take a little, you know what I'm saying? You move a little differently as far as how you go about creating because your thoughts are probably changing.
I hear that. I'm just saying, like now, like put it in that conversation, like she's on that list, even with Joe Budden being on that list, right? And he's so-called retired.
Right.
I think that having somebody, like having that conversation become big about your musical impact, maybe it'll prompt you to remind people or to inspire. Yeah, I mean, like just to say, oh no, there's a reason why motherfuckers say I'm dope. So like, for instance, if Ebro's bigging up Remy, so that's a great. It's almost like an alley-oop,
right?
Because especially right now, still hot girl summer. You know what I'm saying? Right. Now women seem to be way more collaborative. You see Nicki and Meg about to do a record together,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like. Shit, it's a good look.
It's a good time to drop some shit. I mean, especially like you said, for Joe, you know what I'm saying? I haven't heard a lot of Joe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not that I was against Joe, but I just never heard a lot of his music outside of Pump It Up.
Right.
So I would like to see if he came back and dropped some shit out of retirement on him and, you know what I'm saying, and it's hot.
See how it would work out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody that do any type of art or put out any kind of work for the public, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's always that appreciation when you know what I'm saying, somebody that's not you says, shit, he one of the best that ever did it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think in any job, you'll want to hear that shit.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Shit.
It's dope. And then what's also dope is when it's somebody that's unlikely, somebody that you don't hear argued a lot, and they're presented to the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So now, but they're presented to the conversation by somebody that is a fan.
Right.
And I always like to hear somebody that's a fan of somebody that I might not be a fan of talk about why they're a fan, because that might make me, you know, curious to explore the shit. You know what I'm saying? When people are like, oh, nah, have you ever listened? Because you ever hear somebody kind of sell you on some shit that they fuck with?
Yeah,
and they be like, yo, but have you ever looked at it? Did you ever peep when this happened? And da-da? You like, damn, nah. It's like going to a concert and everybody in that concert know the words to the shit. Mm-hmm. And you like, I guess this is a fucking hit.
Let me go check
this record out again. Let me see what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the tell of the tape when your people fuck with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I when somebody's telling me like that, I tend to listen. You know what I'm saying? Unless I've already explored it and you know what I'm saying, and condemned it. But then to hear somebody else's point of view of why people fuck with it, then it might, you know what I'm saying, make me look at it different.
Yeah.
Let me see who this cat got. Ebro got on his list. Let's see. Anybody?
Really wrote it out, huh?
Yeah, he said handwritten or don't count.
Stop it. What is it, 100?
50.
Okay.
And then he got Kanye West at 50.
Interesting. Who's 37?
37, he has Big Boy from Outkast. All right.
Who's at 23?
23, Jordan number is Fab. That's a good look.
All right.
That's where Fab's supposed to be.
With a jersey?
you know what I'm saying? With a jersey on. That's probably where I would have Fab, somewhere right there. Solidly in the middle of that shit.
Okay. It's so many fucking rappers. Fab is a beast. It's so many motherfucking rappers. Who's 17?
17, Big L. Somebody had Big L in their top 10, I think. No, somebody had Big L high. And I was like, damn, I don't know if I've heard enough Big L.
He one of those that kind of, you know, cut short. You know, he had a big wave, though. He had a wave. It was palpable. It was like, but it was cut short, like right when it was, you know what I mean? Like it looked like it was about to be super. On. Yeah, like all the way on. Yeah.
So he got Remy at 31.
Okay.
T.I. at 32.
Okay, interesting.
Cam at 33.
Wow.
Lil Wayne at 35. Snoop Dogg at 36. Huh. Ice Cube at 39.
That's way too low.
Yeah, that man, jeez.
Who he got number? What's his 1 through 5? Let me hear what Ebro went.
Jay-Z, Big, Nas, Dre 3000, KRS-One.
Interesting.
Kendrick, J. Cole, Tupac, Rakim, Eminem. All right. That's his top 10. All
right. All right.
Prodigy, Raekwon, Ghost.
Got some good people on there. It's, I mean, tough. You know,
hip hop got some good people in general.
Thousands of motherfuckers.
If you did a, I mean, hip hop got some good people now, especially over the eras.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's the, they did that, speaking of lists, they did the decade list. You see this shit?
Yeah.
NBA decade list.
NBA all team, all decade, all teams.
Right. The first three teams or whatever. And Cats was very sick because they had Kobe on number three.
Right. On the third string team.
Right. But I guess they were saying from that decade, the way he was playing.
He was declining. Well, he had injuries a lot.
Right.
So out of those, he had 6 years within the decade that they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them, he was injured.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
yeah. So it was one of those.
So somebody, that's why somebody called that shit the outrage troll.
Oh, yeah, but that's, yeah. That's what you're doing.
It's an outrage troll.
Yeah, let's get these clicks.
I had Kobe on the third team, any team. Like, that's
with the most rings out of everybody in the conversation.
In the whole thing, so it's disrespectful.
Yeah. I'm not even the biggest Kobe fan, but I saw the troll. I was like, wow, they was reaching with that one.
Yeah, it's a reach just to even compile that list of, you know what I mean? If you're going to do that, it should be of current motherfuckers that's still playing, not retired.
Right, okay. Or if you're going to keep it to this decade, then let the stats be for that decade. Don't do the cumulative stats when you're doing the luck, because there was a video that went with it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're seeing everybody that's like, first team, Steph Curry, three championships, three times he went to this, whatever, whatever. LeBron, three times. Kevin Durant, two times. You know what I mean? Kobe, four times. Just statistically, how the fuck is he on the 13? He got more rings than anybody over here. So if you want to make it decade-based, then make them stats a little bit more decade-based. But that, you know, that would make too much sense. And it won't drive people crazy. I don't even give a fuck.
You don't give a fuck?
I really don't, but you know.
What you give a fuck about?
I don't
shit
know. We just China.
Yeah, man.
What am I fucking with right now? Rest in peace, Toni Morrison, huh?
No doubt.
I never really read a whole Toni Morrison book, but I know, you know, obviously she's impactful.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, I always aspired to get through. You know what I mean? Like, certain people's in the canon.
In intellectual. You have
But
I fuck with Beloved for whatever reason.
You read it or you saw the movie?
I saw the movie.
Okay. But go ahead.
But after I saw the movie, I didn't read the whole book, but I did go back and try to you know what I'm saying, get an idea of what the fuck was going on, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But that shit was some deep shit.
They say all her shit, it play on mad different levels.
Right.
Even like when you read it, it's like this, it's like a lot of, you know, double entendre, triple entendre, showing some Jay-Z shit. And that's why so many people love her, but then that's why so many people kind of, you know,
couldn't
fuck with it. It was too dense.
Right.
But, you know.
I like a good density. You know what I'm saying?
A challenge.
Yeah.
A challenge. I like that because she was always about that shit. She was like, I'm not dumbing shit down. You know what I mean? If you fuck with it or not, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Some shit ain't for you.
Right.
Stupid motherfucker.
You dummy.
You know what I mean?
You big dummy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but, you know, she left a lot of work for people to catch up on. You know what I'm saying? The good thing about that type of work, it don't play out. I mean, you can go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
Through the ages.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Shit. What else is going on with you?
Shit, I'm out here, man, parenting and shit.
What's that? What's going on?
You know?
Summertime.
It's summertime, which means just a lot more FaceTime
with
the kids and shit. So, you know, me and my daughter had a little
dance off,
a little back and forth.
What was that? What was that old shit? It was like
a little parenting situation where I had to punish my daughter.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? which, you know, like I said, I can't beat her. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? That wasn't my style anyway.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, you know, but when they get, you know what I'm saying, mad, when they need that, when in the 80s, it would have sure enough been an ass.
Some fixing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would sure enough been some belts.
So what's
switches.
What's the equivalent when it was, because that's out the window. So now, how do you give that same level of intensity in a more legal fashion? Or more or less slave like?
Jedi mind trick with the words, and then you make a you make a theatrical display of taking the phone. You know what I'm saying? You give me this phone.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And you walk off with it like you ain't never getting it back.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's, you gotta sell that shit.
You gotta sell it. And then, you know, so you get that same look and that same whimper from, you know, when you got your ass whooped.
Right, right.
But you know what I'm saying? You ain't had to lay no hands.
That's crazy.
So now it's been a few days. So it's the, I'm on my best behavior. Can I get that phone back now? I don't feel like you learned the lesson.
So how will she be able to express that she's learned her lesson? Like, is it more like it's recapping the lesson, or is it just about the behavior?
Nah. It's just the time.
You gotta let some shit.
You gotta let it settle in. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about what you could do to fix it, because life ain't like that. You know what I mean? Sometimes you do some shit that people will forgive you for, but they ain't gonna forget.
Mm.
So you need to let this settle in so you don't forget. You know what I mean? Because if I gave right back after 2 days, then
it wouldn't mean nothing.
Yeah, you forgot.
Okay.
This time gotta be one of them times you gotta live without it through some crucial, you know what I'm saying, social media chatter.
Some moments
with your cousins is out living summer and going back to school with they back to school fits, and you ain't.
Oh, you doing it all the way through. You going for the whole summer?
Well, but the cousins in Atlanta went back to school Monday.
So they missing that.
Missing all of that, you know what I'm saying? The back to school fits and all that, you know what I mean? Let all that settle in. You know what I'm saying?
Feel that.
Feel all that.
Yeah.
Remember that week in summer 2019 that you missed all the shit, but didn't miss nothing.
Hilarious.
But, you know, I guess that's all I could come up with in the moment without losing my control.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
cool. Can't, you know, like I said, you can't do that.
That shuts a lot of shit down. We ain't got no phone. You ever look at your little metrics of how often you pick up your phone, how often you've been on the screen time shit?
Mm-mm.
You don't ever check it out?
Nah.
It's sobering. Wow. I'm like, damn. Because you can realize how much, well, maybe not you, but you can realize how much you bullshit on your phone. Like, how many hours you looking at the gram? How many hours you on some bullshit Twitter, you know, scrolling? I seen you on the Twitters.
Back to the Twitter. Yeah. I mean, I read some responses.
Okay, yeah, it came.
I haven't tweeted. I responded to some Twitter, some tweets.
I guess it was such a moment because my, you know, your Twitter sometime will.
You said such a moment.
No, the shit will bring
Muhammad
up.
On.
They'll be like, yo, that's the new shit. Such and such has been quiet. They're back. You came back like that.
So that's
you came back
go
like an old rapper.
Oh, that's how
it yeah, Rakim.
Nah, I haven't found my way back into a rhythm of tweeting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I look to see what's happening.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And follow along. I'm there.
Yeah.
But I don't have I don't feel like I had no conversations I want to start. Like, you know what I'm saying? Twitter, you got to be in the mode of just a whatever type of conversations is at the moment.
Just gotta go with it
for whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? No matter how frivolous, no matter how you know what I'm saying. Then you can't come back from being gone with a heady, dense ass tweet.
You could if you want. It just might not do well. Right. But it ain't no grand gesture.
Why you there if it ain't gonna do well? you like,
but that's the thing. That's
put it out there, crickets. No response. Dang. No likes. No.
Yeah.
You just sitting up there.
I found myself realizing like. It don't make no fucking sense to have any real anxiety about some fucking metrics, like some podcast metrics or some Twitter. Like, I was thinking about that shit. I'm like, because it feel like something. Obviously, nobody want a brick anywhere.
Right.
But it ain't. It don't mean shit.
No, it don't mean nothing. But it could mean something.
It's not like first week sales, nigga. I mean, you see, this nigga tweeted after 6 weeks. This nigga Twitter.
When you get in the game, you know.
I guess.
When you at that level and you got followers and shit. But for me, like I said, the Twitter, when I was good at it, when I was doing that shit and I was moving along and shit, then I saw they was playing games with my tweets and replies and shit. Then I just lost all interest in it.
It's fucking with you.
Yeah, because it's like I tweet something out. You know, I used to have like good little roles. You put some shit out, people respond, you doop, 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 and you going back and forth. You got the shit popping. And then my shit started to get quiet, but then I would look at somebody else that I know timeline and see that they responded to the shit that I put out that I thought nobody responded to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you look at a few more and it's about three or four, then you do a little search and it's about four or five different replies.
That you never even saw.
That never came, never was notified, none of that shit. I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers playing games. It's
fucking with you.
I just left it alone after that.
Yeah.
Cause like, shit, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So I never returned like in a full way because it's kind of like
felt it was rigged.
Not that it was rigged, but it's just like how you get back started. And I never really, you know, had the bug to get back going.
Right.
So.
Nah.
So I'm not sure if I ever return.
I feel you. That's what I'm saying. I hear you, but this is my thing because I feel you. I'm the same way. I don't think it needs to be no grand return to Twitter.
No, like, it's never. Like you never be an announcement. Hey, I'm back.
Right, but that's what it feels like emotionally. You like, look, man, I don't know if I could regain what I started. My inertia.
It's not even the inertia is not the response. The inertia is the motivation. To do it. You know what I'm saying? Do I feel like even doing this?
Just put some shit out there.
Do I even want some? Do I even want a response to this idea?
I find myself thinking, I don't even know how to think in a tweet. You know what I mean? Like I do, I guess, but it's a delivery system in its own way. It's like fortune cookie type shit, I guess. Not really, but it's like a succinct type of thing. It's a thought, whatever. If you overthink it, but it's really just a thought. However you phrase it, because just like there's the standard Twitter delivery system that you see, that's the protocol or that's the default. And then, like Rakim, there'll be a motherfucker that'll tweet some ignorant shit or create a different type of Twitter speak. Because you see that shit all the time. Right. Like, oh, this motherfucker's doing it a whole different type of way. It's just, it's a platform.
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
but what I was responding to today, it was a journalist saying that she heard us talking about, it's the best timing ever to tell black stories.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't even see this. Look at the Twitter with my Twitter.
You was tagged, didn't shit?
Oh, I didn't see the tag. All I saw was Mr. Muhammad said.
Tagged.
Maybe that's why I saw it. I didn't see. Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
So, but she was saying as a hip-hop writer, you know what I'm saying, she was feeling a little disenchanted with the way that the business is going. And, you know, a lot of magazines that writers used to write for are not around no more.
Right.
It's more of an online-based system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quite frankly, shit, you know, I understand what she's talking about. And it's where, you know, the people who are talking about it, it's not the same. You know what I'm saying? It's not endemic to a certain type of writer no more.
Right.
It's everybody is in there. And then a lot of the artists are telling their own stories, you know, and that's what the people are on Twitter to see, you know what I'm saying, or on in the world to see, you know, the artists tell their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's how do you survive as a writer in that business? Or do you pivot and do something else? Or do you move into movies? But if you just want to write and write stories, how do you survive?
Mm. What you say?
I was about to ask you.
How do you
I thought you might have had the answers.
Oh, shit, I just got the question just 2 seconds ago. I mean,
that's the best time to get the answer when you're on impromptu.
I mean, there's always a way in for a writer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that, I just feel like it's always a way in. You just got to figure out what you're writing about, what the inspiration is. If it's now, because I see what the thing is. So now the paradigm's changed, right? So it's not like the writer shaping the story of the subject. Mm-hmm. It's now the subject creating their own narrative, right? That's right. The buzz.
Right.
Create your own narrative. Because that's really what they doing. They saying, right. So this the shit happened like this. Boom, boom, boom. And then that happened and this happened. Whereas before, the motherfucker be like, well, this is how I saw it. And this is what blah, 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 blah. And then even the subject might be like, nah, I don't remember it like that. Right. So there was the discrepancy because it's somebody.
Now we need the video.
So now we got to go to World Star. But there's always, if the information is off the subject, whatever it is interesting, there's always some room for a writer. And it's up to the writer to make that shit compelling. You know right. what I mean? Like, you know, it's, like I said about Twitter a couple minutes ago, it's always up to the writer to make it compelling, even when you thought, I would have never thought like that. I keep throwing back to Rakim, like you said, Rakim switched up the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's all types of writers that you see that utilize different little tricks or things
right.
that make their writing a little bit more dynamic or make it a little bit more interesting. And you're like, oh, shit, I would have never even thought to do it like that.
Right.
I would have probably taken this approach. So I think it comes down to being clever and how you approach the subject.
I think, you know what I'm saying, in anything, wherever you're writing or how you're writing, you know what I'm saying, right now, information is coming out at the speed of whatever. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's information overload.
Right.
So I think in times like this where there are less platforms to write for, that's going to pay you to say, hey, go write for this person. Go write about this or go right. write about that.
Right.
We want you to write this story. It's time to kind of identify, you know what I'm saying, what stories you like to write. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Which ones? Mm-hmm. Which hip-hop stories? Which, you know what I'm saying, music stories do you want to write about? Always wanted to write about. Which, you know what I mean, and how you want to write about them. I think now is a time where you can, you know, create a voice where people understand, oh, that's that writer's voice.
Right.
And if I want that take, I'm going to go to them for it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it will take time, but if you build enough people to trust your voice and want to hear your voice, then you will get paid to do it your way, how you want to do it.
Right.
Just like, you know what I'm saying, in a time where we, when it was the Source, XXL, Vibe, you know what I mean, all the big hip-hop books, right? Mm-hmm. Then you had the South coming up,
mm-hmm.
who was getting no love mm-hmm. in the big New York media magazines.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you had somebody like Julia Beverly,
right.
who was a hip-hop photographer,
mm-hmm.
taking pictures at concerts around the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, well, shit, I'm going to put out this little magazine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And start writing my own little stories about the artists that I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit became more powerful because the game started changing. You know what I'm saying? Where the South started selling more records and becoming more influential, and the big magazines weren't in on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But Ozone magazine was the voice of those artists. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That was the first magazines that they were on the cover of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They felt more of an allegiance to that mm-hmm. magazine because it was the one that gave them the shot
right.
in the beginning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For the you know, Plies of the Worlds and the Rick Rosses and the, right. you know what I'm saying?
Right.
All the Down South T.I.s and mm-hmm. the David Banners and all them who was getting no love in the New York magazine. It was so bad that Lil Jon was the biggest producer of, you know what I'm saying, of over like 2-3 years. He was like
right.
the biggest producer in the game with numerous hits on the radio at the same time. And at Vibe, he never got a full feature on himself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Period. Not he was included in a Southern feature.
Right.
But he never got a full feature, let alone a cover or nothing like
right.
that. You know what I'm saying? So those voices became important to those artists. Even when they was telling their own stories, that little space that was curated for them felt like home for them. Mm-hmm. And as a writer in this space now, there's still an opportunity to create home for a certain type of artist or whatever interest that you have as a writer.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's a place, like, journalism is a place where the game totally broke apart and it's coming back together in all kinds of different ways that was never part of the institutionalized way of doing journalism.
Yeah, I think it's different now. I think it's evolving. I think, you know, it's funny, I was talking to my grandmother today and she was like, I was telling her about something that happened. And I said, I got to look at it. I haven't seen it anywhere. I ain't seen it in the news. And she was like, you know, I don't know the last time I seen a newspaper. My grandmother said, it's been a long time since I seen a newspaper. And they live and die by the newspaper every day. That was part of the day. Go get the paper, read the paper. You know what I mean? And now she was like, I barely see newsstands. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's evident to everybody, right? But at the same time, I feel like the platforms are changing. There's writers that are new writers that are developing that are like, you know, there's dope voices that you see on Twitter. There's dope voices that you see on Instagram. There's dope voices that you see, that you hear in podcasting. You know what I mean? There's dope voices that tell video stories. Like, it's a different way of storytelling. It's not like the same old 4 to 5 page feature in a glossy magazine. Now it's a viral. Now it's, we came to your hood and we took these, you know what I mean, these cameras and we had these, you know what I mean, these interviews in the trap, or we went to this certain club or whatever, whatever. I'm going to show you this picture and I'm going to tell you the background on the picture and da, 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 da. So it's people out there, they just posting up on these new platforms. They're like, yo, somebody, because I feel like a writer's job, honestly, is just to provide context. You know what I mean? Like, just at the, you know, now I don't say that's all it is, but that's one of the biggest things, especially as it relates to, like, culture. Mm-hmm. So it's like with Julia Beverly, she set the stage to create a context for all of the Southern rap and why that shit meant something. And this person was on that page with this person. And you had voices, you know what I mean, you know, from the South with their own POV, whether it's Charlemagne or Lil Duval in there, or you know what I mean? Then she'd photograph not just the artist, but the whole scene. Like, there's plenty of times niggas that worked at Vibe might be in Ozone more than they was in Vibe. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, but it captured what was going on. Right. I think if you could capture that shit and create the context for why this shit means something, people going to keep coming back.
Yeah, and it's always going to be a need for that. It's never not going to be a need for somebody summing it up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And, or not even just summing it up, but there's,
just providing context, what I'm saying? Telling the stories of what's happening. You know what I mean? So, like you said, even on Instagram, you might have a photographer, but that does more writing than photography because they're put one picture up and then they're going to tell a whole thing of what that picture means and, you know what I'm saying, what's going on in their mind.
Like, you look at, like, Ain't No Jigga. You ever follow him? Ain't No Jigga, that's like, it's like Jay-Z's, it's like a Jay-Z account, basically, they follow. Some people think it's Hov, but I don't think so. But that motherfucker had photos from like 96. Uh-huh. They'd be like, this is when Jay-Z was at a Rolling Stone interview and, you know, the Tag Heuer watch he got on cost X amount of dollars. He had such and such. Like, gonna give you the whole breakdown. This is what happened. His mom's is there and then this what they did that this day. And it's like, wow, insightful.
Right.
He's like, all right.
Yeah, I've never seen that one, but, you know, it's like Ruddy Roy, the photographer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And anytime he posts a picture, it's always, you know what I mean, his feelings and whatever about what's going on or the picture itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he does a lot of writing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's working. You know, it's not as like, here go my picture.
No, he's selling it. Yeah,
yeah, he working all the way through it. And it gives you more meat.
Right.
You know what I mean? To the image. So, I mean, it's find your subject, find your platform, and write. And you know what I'm saying? And bring them to you.
Speaking of some photography shit, last thing. I've noticed Johnny Nunez does a lot of not just photos, but he'll do these videos.
Right.
But it's his own way. Like, it's just how Johnny Nunez is, where he get right. everybody together moving shit to be random as fuck.
Right.
But you feel like you in the room more so than other behind the scenes. Like, you right. really feel like
because he got the eye. Camera and the video in the same
He's doing the whole shit.
I've seen him do it.
Yeah. Motherfuckers be disoriented. No. This is the video. Oh. But it's dope because then you'll see moments like he had one shit where... This is a while back. I think this might have been Essence Festival or something like that. Her had just performed, and Patti LaBelle was backstage with her, mm-hmm. and she was like saying, "Yo, you special. You like it was, but it was like one of the moments that you would hear about or whatever. Right. But it was like you caught it, and they wasn't playing for the camera. They probably didn't even realize the camera was there.
Right.
But you just felt, you could feel the gravity and what was so dope about somebody at Patti LaBelle level recognizing her and saying, yo, you dope. Like, making it intentionally tapping her on the shoulder, like eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anointing you. I'm blessing you. I'm telling you, you got what it take. I've been in this game for a minute. You can right. feel that shit. It was just dope. And it was just like, it was like a stolen moment. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Johnny B working his ass off with that camera. And his phone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Doing video and taking the pictures.
Getting to
it. You
know
what I'm saying? And I think with Johnny, the thing that made him stand out is that, you know what I'm saying, he didn't waste a lot of time being precious about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This, that, and the third. He come in, he going to take the snaps. He going to be on to the next shit. And over time, you know what I'm saying, you in 5-6 different events a night. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, just, frequency. You know what I mean? The frequency. And then, you know, next thing you know, you here, you there, you're on the plane with Hov, and you know what I mean? It's like, shit, after a while, your catalog gonna speak for itself.
It's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it don't have to be precious. It just had to capture that moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just like you said, he captured that moment. He now, when you see the image, that backstory is already captured.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that adds value in itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's dope.
Heard that.
Where you gonna be this week?
This week I'll be here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll be on the ground at Mr. Muhammad.
Okay.
I'll be somewhere lurking on Twitter.
Okay.
At Mr. Muhammad.
Lurking?
Uh-huh. I'll be reading. I'll be reading and responding.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I ain't set off no conversations, but I'll be reading and responding.
I dig it. I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo.
Holla at me.
Oh, I've seen everything that we just talked about. I got to read up on this. Yeah, I'm at Eastville Comedy Club this entire weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come through, check me there. If I'm anywhere else, I'll update it, social media somewhere. Oh, real quick, did you see your Black Lady sketch show on HBO?
I did.
That shit was funny. I liked it. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Robin Thede, Issa Rae. That shit was fire. Shit was funny. I liked it. It was pretty good. I'm excited for more of them shits. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We are out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.